Good morning. I'd like to apologize to everybody. You were expecting to hear Wally up here, but chemo's beating him up. And so we're going to pray for Wally, and then we're going to get started. Sound fair? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing this body of believers and so many others with the faith you have embedded in the heart of Wally Williams. Father, help him fight through this chemo that's beating up the cancer, but it's beating him up too. Help him have the strength he needs to get over that, and Father, heal him as only you can. Father, we thank you for letting little Elijah make his way out to Minnesota. We pray that you'll bless his life also. Father, we know you can leave doctors scratching their heads, and we pray that you will in both of these instances and so many others that are on our heart. Father, this morning, as we commune with your servant son, may we always be in awe of his grace. In his name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. This month, the elders have asked us to center our attention on the communion. And the concept of communion that we're centering our attention on is that Jesus, at the Last Supper, told the disciples, "I will not eat of this bread or drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in the kingdom." When we partake of the communion, we are partaking of that with Christ. And last week we looked at the predicted Christ in prophecy. All those passages talked about him coming. And now we're going to look at him and his service. And next week, and his passion week, giving his life for us. So let's start. I want to read you one from Matthew, and then we'll just be in Mark after that. In Matthew 20, "But Jesus called them to himself, and he said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It's not that way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" Jesus is the God of the towel long before he picked it up on that Thursday evening. In Mark 1, it says, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth." We're going to read a lot of Mark 1, so if you're going to join us. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.' Immediately, the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him." Then later in the same chapter, it says, "And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her. She waited on them. And when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. He was not permitted to speak because they knew who he was. And in early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him, and they said to him, 'Everyone's looking for you.' He said to them, 'Let's go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that's what I came out for.' And he went into their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, and falling on his knees before him and saying, 'If you're willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Then in chapter 2, it says, when he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. But some of the scribes who were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, well, why does this man speak this way? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, We've never seen anything like this. Chapter 3, verse 20, it says, And he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent he couldn't even eat a meal. When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, but they were saying he's lost his senses. Jesus served so much that he didn't have time to eat sometimes. He was always blessing the person with him. He is the one we will be communing with. Chapter 4. On that day, we're only going to go through 7, and we're not going to hit all of them, okay? On that day, when evening came, he said to them, Let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. The waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filled up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, Hush, be still. And the wind died down. It became perfectly calm. And he said to them, Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they became very much afraid. And they said to one another, Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Then over in chapter 6, before the feeding, the people saw them going, and many recognized them. And they ran there together on foot from all the cities, and they got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And it was already quite late. His disciples came to him and said, This place is desolate, and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, You give them something to eat. And they said to him, Well, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And he said to them, How many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and of 50s. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food. And he broke the loaves And he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces, and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Then later on in chapter 6, it says, whenever he entered the villages, or the cities, or the countryside, they were laying their sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that they might touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were being cured. This is the last one reading we'll have before communion. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hands on them. And Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh to him, he cried out, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed. He began speaking plainly. He gave them orders not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. And they were utterly astonished, saying, "He's done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Savior with whom we commune this day, that we commune with every Lord's day, is this servant. He takes a deaf mute aside by himself. And back then, they didn't have sign language. And so the way to teach a man who was deaf is you would put your fingers in his ears to let him know we're healing his ears. And you would spit and touch his tongue to let him know you were healing his tongue. And to let him know that God was doing it, you would look to heaven and cry out, "Ephphatha." He did all this for one man. He did that for a multitude. He did that for a widow who'd lost her son. He did that for a man left through the roof. He could give his whole life in service to others. And as we will see next week, he did. He gave his whole life so that they could. So, let's commune with our serving Lord. But before we commune this morning, I want us to understand what the communing is with the body of Christ. It's not just the body of Christ on the cross. It's not just the body of Christ in prophecy that we looked at last week. It's not just the body of Christ in service that we're looking at this week. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 and 17, he says, "Is not this cup of blessing which we bless a sharing," King James, "a communion in the blood of Christ? Is not this bread which we break a sharing, a communion in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." The reason why, so when we partake, I'm not just partaking with the body of Christ above. I'm partaking with the body of Christ beside. Let's pray as we partake of the bread. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the body of Christ that has been given, and thank you for making us your body on earth. Father, as we commune with your body this day, help us to be bound closer to each other. Help us also to be bound closely to you. Thank you for this amazing gift and this wonderful memorial. Touch our hearts. In your Son we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the blood of your Son, the blood of the new covenant, that passes through your body and nourishes us and cleanses us, just as our blood passes through our bodies and cleanses and purifies and strengthens them. Father, as we commune with you this day, help us to always be thankful for the greatest gift that was ever given, so that we might be a family. And help us be bound to each other with a loyalty, a family relationship that is made possible because of the blood of your Son. Not only as we commune, but as we remember this bond all through our days. Thank you again for this cup. We pray your blessings upon it and upon those who partake. In your Son we pray. Amen. The contribution is not part of the communion feast any more than the singing is, but it's not less a part of the communion feast than the singing or the praying or the giving or the sharing of God's word. The early church was gathered together for the purpose of breaking bread. But that bond is in all that we do. We praise God together. We commune together. We sing songs together. We pray our hearts out together. And we give together. Not just for Jody's mission work in Scotland, or for the works that we have done to help others in different places and nursing homes and children's homes and things that we do, but also we give of our time. We give because our serving Savior left us opportunity to follow his example. Give what you can, knowing that Christ gave what he could. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing our lives richly. We thank you for giving your Son to us. We could never give back for what you've given to us. Work on our hearts that we put you first, that we give to you our best, that we seek to honor you with our giving in a way that allows your kingdom message to spread throughout our world. We thank you for those who serve here and give their time and their energy. And we thank you for those who have given their time and energy in the form of dollars. Father, we pray that you bless this offering to the glory of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Christ, in his example and ministry, calls us to serve with him. I was thinking of going to Philippians 2, where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, held on to be equal with God, but humbled himself and came as a servant, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." But I thought since we were in Mark, we'd stay in Mark. In Mark 3, it says, "When Jesus went up into a mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him, and he appointed 12 so they could be with him and so that he could send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons." Our question this morning is, are you willing to come to Christ to be with him so that he can send you out with his message and so that he can give you power? We don't commune just to commune. We don't come together just because it's the right thing to do. We are here to be the strengthened, nourished body of Christ, having communed with our Lord and with each other. And Jesus called the disciples he wanted, and you read on, and he chose 12, and it gives all their names, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, all the rest. But here, he chose them for three reasons. So they could be with him, and so that he could send them out with his message, and so he could give them the power and authority they needed to get it done. Nothing has changed. Jesus chose you so you could be with him. Jesus chose you so that after you're with him, you have a message to share because you want others to be with him. And after you share that message, when you share that message, he gives you the strength to do it. He gives you the power to share it. No, we're not going to cast out demons like they did. Fortunately, because there's none of those to cast out right now. But he gave you the power that you need to accomplish what he needs done for his name. So my question to you, do you want him to choose you? Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you're willing to make that commitment, he calls you by the gospel. He chooses us to be with him. He says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And he chooses us to be with him. Do you want to be with him? If we can help you in that choice, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.